Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 28. Proverbs, chapter 28. We'll read verses 18 through 21 together. I'll read this passage responsively. Proverbs, chapter 28, verses 18 through 21. Proverbs, chapter 28, verses 18 through 21. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, this morning, if it be possible, I believe there was a host of people that were able to express their love back to their God, even in a small way, like you wanted. May we keep that going. Father, please be with our preacher tonight, fill him with your power. Lord, we're such a needy people. We're in need of you each and every moment. Lord, as he preaches, may we take the truth. May we learn it, burn it deep in our hearts and our lives, please, so that we could do more for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I will do my best to make sure that we try to bring the service to a close a little early for the sake of that meeting that we're hosting at the conclusion of tonight's service. I don't have to do that. I want to do that. I had a preacher criticize me about doing things like that, and my opinion is he can just mind his own business. I don't know of anybody that is leaving our church. Not one. I am going to teach a lesson tonight. I've entitled it, How to Last a Long Time in Your Fundamental Baptist Church. And when I say your, you know, if you're not careful with Fundamental Baptist, they'll go from Fundamental Baptist Church to Fundamental Baptist Church to Fundamental Baptist Church, never finding that one that's just right. I'm wondering what the problem is there. But how to last a long time in your Fundamental Baptist Church. When I was a young preacher, I'm still a young preacher. Thank you very, very much. But when I was a younger preacher, that's how I'll put it, I talked to two or three men who had been in the ministry a long time, and I specifically asked them a question. I said, could you please teach me how to last a long time, because I don't want to be put on a shelf. I'll be honest, I really would like to be one of those preachers that have been at it for 60 and 70 years, and I want that, and I hope that doesn't seem vain. I just want to be faithful. I want that. I want to be an old, feeble, gray-haired, and I know we're already there on the gray hair part, old, feeble, gray-haired preacher where a couple of men have to walk me to the platform when I'm 85 years old, but I'm still preaching. I want that. I want that so much. Well, one of the men that I had inquired with about how to last a long time as a preacher, he said, one thing you're doing is you're doing the smart thing by asking someone how to do it. Well, I got to thinking about that, and I asked some people that had been in churches, in their churches, for a long time, how they did it. The Bible says here in Proverbs 28, verse 20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Oh, I want us to be faithful. I want that so much. Now, the way to abound with blessings is by being faithful. Some people will never experience abounding with blessing. They'll have some blessing, but they will not abound with blessing because they've just not learned to be faithful. Recently, I watched a deacon honored at a church that had been a deacon in the same church for 65 years. You say, what kind of a deacon was he? I don't know. But at this moment, really, it doesn't matter to me. 65 years just says a lot in itself. Now, I hope when he was deacon right. But if he wasn't deacon well, he did one thing right. He stuck to it. 65 years. I know a lady in a church down south where I preach every year. She has been a Sunday school teacher in that church for 69 years. That is incredible. That is incredible. I often refer to Brother Les Brining. Brother Brining has been a member of this church for 63 years. I'm not sure that we have any living member that's been a member longer than that. Anybody here been a member of this church longer than 63 years? That is incredible to me. Can I tell you something that Brother Brining has? Who is it, Brother Brining? Phyllis, how long have you been here? Well, tonight I'd make it 64 if he's been here 63. You got the right idea. Look at that. Two people up there in that balcony, 63 and 64 years. Now, let me tell you something that they get. They abound with blessing. Do you know that they watched this property purchased? They watched every building built. They're watching a new building built. They're watching a revival take place. I'll guarantee you, there are two people up there that they can say, I just watched it grow and grow, and I've watched what God's done, been through good times and bad times. Hey, that's abounding. That's abounding in blessing. You know, I just spoke to a few what we would call long-term members in a particular church. And I just started asking, when I would find somebody that had been in the same fundamental Baptist church for a long, long time, I'd ask them, tell me something. I just started asking that question in casual conversation. And let me tell you some of the things that I learned. I won't take a long time on any one of these. I wish that I could. But let me tell you something. If you can't keep people in church, you can't keep them right with God. If you're not going to church on a regular basis and faithfully, you can't be right with God. You better be careful making decisions about your life when you're unfaithful to church, because you'll make some really bad decisions. Let me tell you some of the things that they taught me. Number one, someone said to me, someone that had been in a church for a long, long time, they said, you've got to be willing to grow. If you want to stay in your church for a long time, you've got to be willing to grow. First glance, I didn't understand it. But they said, you have to accept something. No matter how long you've been there, you're not a finished product. They said, when you're done growing, you're sure to be offended with something. But if you keep an attitude of growth, you can hang in there for a long, long time. See, they told me, they said, people who don't want to grow are impossible to work with. That makes total sense to me. So if you would like to stay in your church for a long time, I guess we need to do what 2 Peter 3:8 says. We are to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's never become finished products. Let's always be pliable, moldable, and teachable. That's what this person was saying. Let me give you another. I asked them, I said, how have you stayed in this church for decades? And they said, be more willing to follow than to lead. And these are from senior saints that they've proven themselves. She said, be more willing to follow than to lead. I like that song. Hey, let's never get too big for the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. We probably ought to just keep that as a theme in our lives. See, this is part of the conversation. She said, keep a good follower's attitude. When leading is your only passion, you're about to make some serious mistakes. She said leaders need to keep a follower's attitude even when they're leading. You know, something tucked in there is a jewel. If you want to last a long time in your church, you've got to be more willing to follow than to lead. When leadership becomes the prominent issue to you, then somewhere along the way, things aren't going to work out very well for you, because you're not going to get everything you want. It's not going to be your way. You're not going to get to do what you want to get to do, and you're going to be offended. And so that one made a lot of sense to me once it was explained to me. Number three, I asked someone who had been in their church for a long time. I said, how'd you do it? And he said, realize offenses will come. He said the truth is offensive. Sometimes the truth just offends you, and people don't like to hear the truth. Sinners are offensive. He threw that in there. And guess who the sinners are? That's me and you. I loved it. I scribbled it down. He said, plan to heal, not squeal. That's the old gray-haired man, he said, brother, he said, you got a plan to heal, not squeal. He said, you got a plan to get over it. You got a plan not to run. He said, others have gone through what you're going through, and they stayed faithful. What makes you think you got to run? I sat there and I thought, you know what? That old gray-haired man just talked more common sense than some theologians I know. So how can you last a long time in your fundamental Baptist church, be willing to grow, be more willing to follow than to lead, realize that offenses will come? Here's another one. I asked someone that had been in church for a long time, a couple that had been in church, husband, wife, I think they'd been married like 60-some years, and they'd been in that same church all those years. This is what they said. You can't be here for the wrong reasons. They said, you have to be here because of the church preaches and stands for right. You can't even be here because the church agrees with you. You've got to be here because the church agrees with God. And then they started listing some of the reasons people are in a church. Not necessarily that they're bad reasons, but these reasons won't keep you in a church. They said, you can't decide to be here just because your friends are here. And they said, we've had friends come and go, but the truth of our church did not change, so we did not change. Look, if you're here just because your friends are here, I'll guarantee you, your friends, the devil's going to try to take them out. Because you can kill two birds with one stone. This is what the lady said. She said, you can't be here because you love the buildings. She said, I've watched buildings go up and come down. Do you know how many people, buildings are an issue? Several of those, I just love these facilities. A tornado may hit this week and tear all of our building and grounds down. We may have to meet in a tent. What are you going to do? You say, well, that would be inconvenient. Oh. Are you here for convenience sake? They said you got to make sure that you're in the church for the right reason, not because it's close to your house. Well, it's close to my house. That's why I'm here. They said our church property and grounds used to be right next to our house, and then they bought a bigger piece of land and moved it. They said we were amazed at how many people stopped coming to church because the church moved 5 miles away. They said you got to be careful that you don't come just because you love the pastor's humor. They said, we've been here long enough that we've been through about 3 or 4 pastors and a couple of them couldn't tell a joke. They said, you got to be careful not to go to the church because it's the big church with the clout. I don't know why, but in recent days, I've been having the politicians from all over the area coming by and wanting to talk to me. I mean a variety of them. The other day, a man, I was in the community, and he said, and who are you? And I shook his hand, and I told him, and he said, and what do you do? And I said, I told him, I pastor the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. He said, oh, that's a big one, isn't it? I said, reasonably large. He said, that's probably the biggest one in the state, isn't it? I said, well, on a good day, it sure could be. You know something? If you're only coming to this church because it's the big one, what are you going to do if we continue to stand for right and it becomes a little one while we stand for right? This couple said to me, you can't go to the church because that's where your family goes. Why? Families get wrong with God. They said, hey, you can't go to your church because the preaching makes you feel good. This old fella said, man, we've had some tough preachers. If we were going to stay at the church because we felt good while he was preaching, we would have left a long time ago. Yeah, bummer. I hate hearing that. So, in interviewing some people that had been in churches for a long time, as I travel the country, I'm always gathering tidbits. And I've been to churches from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And when I would find out somebody was a super long-term member, I would go to them. I'd take a moment, sit down with them before or after the service, and I ask them that question. How did you make it? How did you stay right here in the same church for 50 and 60 and 70 years? Be willing to grow. Number two, be more willing to follow than to lead. Number three, realize offenses will come. Number four, don't be here for the wrong reasons. Number five, they said this, establish a faithfulness to church habit. This was such a quick observation, but a man said to me, to stay faithful, sir, you must first become faithful. He said, I watch them come and go, but the ones that usually go were never totally here in the first place. He said, they are not consistent and determined to be at all the services and staying. In other words, you cannot be a long-term faithful member until you're a short-term faithful member. So stop being hit and miss and be hit over and over and over again. Does that make sense to you? That was the length of our conversation. That's what the guy said. He wasn't much of a talker. But he said an awful lot in two or three sentences. Number six, this is what I was told. A lady said to me, don't run with the crowd who's not wanting to be long-term faithful members. He said, you can tell. You can tell. It won't take long. He said, is their loyalty a staying loyalty? He said, I've been in a church long enough that you can tell. He said, there's always some that always have one foot in the door. He said, you'll see that their conversations are always unsatisfied. He said, so don't run with the crowd who is not the staying crowd. Let's go on. Here's another one. I asked the question, how did you do it? How did you make it long term? How did you stay in your church? And remember, we're not talking about in a fundamental Baptist church, but in their fundamental Baptist church. I could go to a lot of people that have been in 20 of them. That really doesn't interest me. The hopping all over the place does not interest me. There's an instability there. It is that locked in, this is what I'm going to do group that I wanted to talk to. Here's another. Realize that the ones who decide to be long-term faithful members will be a specific target of the devil. When I was talking to this person, they said, I feel like when I determined I was going to lock in by principle, I felt like the devil knew that. And that just every once in a while, he'd come after me to try to get me to change my mind about it. He said, if you decide that you want to be long-term, committed, and faithful, he said, the devil won't be happy. The devil will launch an attack from time to time to try to get you to quit. And he told me this. He said, I was honored that I had merited a special attention from the devil. Hey, listen. I would guess that would mean if you decided that you wanted to be a faithful, consistent member of a fundamental Baptist church, if you decided it today, you may have trouble this week. The devil, he wants to get you off track. He doesn't want that. I'll tell you one thing the devil doesn't want, and that is faithfulness. And that is consistency. That is what the devil does not want. Let me give you another one. How do you become a faithful, long-term member of your fundamental Baptist church? Number eight. Here's somebody who had been in the church. They had gotten backslidden, stepped out of their church for a little while. They weren't going to other churches. They'd gotten backslidden and away from God and then got back into the church. And this is what they said to me. They said, you must remove pride when you're backslidden and out of church and then come back to your church and get right with God. They said, pride is destructive to your faithfulness. They said, if you get out of church for a while, you must swallow your pride and come back to your church after having been backslidden. This person said, when you're away from your church in a backslidden condition, pride and embarrassment wants to keep you from coming back to your church. Shame will try to keep you from coming back to your church. And this person said, I am so glad that pride, embarrassment, and shame didn't overwhelm me to the point where I went to another church, but I went back to my church and I found out all the fears that I had about the people not wanting me, or all the fears that I had about the people not forgiving me, they were lies from the devil. And once I got back and I realized it was a devil that was psyching me out, I was so glad that I did not let my pride stop me. Y'all know what I mean? When you get away from God, you ever get out of church for a little while and you wonder about going back because you're afraid of, well, what will people think? I'm ashamed. They know I've not been faithful. Everybody goes through bouts of unfaithfulness. Let's not let the devil psych us out and make us believe we're not wanted and needed. He said this. He said, the devil lies to you when you're backslidden about your church. That's what he said. This from someone of experience. Hey, somebody that had been faithful to church for years, stepped out of church because of their backslidden condition, got back into their church. Hey, you know, I'm going to guess every one of the people that I interviewed had times when they were backslidden and unfaithful to church. Somehow they came to their senses, overcame the embarrassment, overcame the pride, and said, I'm going back. I'm going back. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. Let me give you another one. Someone said, you keep coming even when you're not excited about coming. I was just shocked to death at this lady's candidness. She said, I got to tell you, when you're my age, and when you've been going to church as long as I have, I'm just not as excited as I used to be. She said, I see the young people and I see their vibrance. And she said, and I'm aching every step from the parking lot to the pew. She said, I'm tired. She said, it's rare I hear anything preached that's new. And she said, and I'm glad of that, but I've heard a sermon on that topic about 700 times. She said, but I decided to keep coming even if I'm not excited about coming. She said, this generation needs to learn to be faithful to church out of duty, out of routine, and out of habit. She said, I believe I could get in my car on Sunday morning after all these years started, and it would drive itself to church on Sunday morning. She said, it is so used to doing what it's supposed to do. And that's routine. That's character. That's duty. She said, how do I do it? Well, you come even when you're not excited about it. Almost too candid there for me, but it's the truth. So what have we said so far? One said to me, you've got to be willing to grow. People that don't want to grow are impossible to work with. Two, be more willing to follow than to lead. Number three, realize offenses will come. Don't run. Get over it. Plan to heal. Number four, don't be here for the wrong reasons. Number five, establish a no excuse faithfulness to church attendance habit. Number six, don't run with the crowd who is not the staying crowd. Number seven, realize that the ones who have decided to be long-term faithful members will become a specific target of the devil. Number eight, remove pride when you're backslidden and out of church, then come back to God anyway. Then number nine, keep coming even when you're not excited about it. Number 10, and this is the last one. A couple said to me, get right with God and people regularly. Get right with God and people regularly. I wrote down, I've got a little card out, no I didn't. In this one, I had a church bulletin. And I'm talking to them and I'm scribbling things down. I don't know what they thought, but it was an interview to me. It was precious to me. Get right with God and people regularly. I wrote down, they said, apologize regularly. Now, here's somebody been in church over 60 years, the same church. Says you've got to be willing to apologize regularly. Then the wife said, and you've got to be willing to accept apologies regularly. She said, we've been here long enough that we have apologized over and over and over again, and we have received apologies over and over and over again. She said, you can't live with grudges in the church and be long-term. She said, you should not allow ongoing disagreements between you and anybody. He said, fix relationships with the other men. Fix them. He said, something's broken, fix it. And then he said, and let other men fix their relationship with you. The Bible says, a faithful man shall abound with blessing. When I asked some older, wiser preachers how to last a long time as a preacher in the ministry, one said, boy, the smart thing you've done is you've asked and you're willing to learn and you're going to know what it takes. So I thought, if we want to be faithful long-term church members, maybe then if I would ask around and figure out what it takes, then I could teach you and me what we need to do to last a long time in our Fundamental Baptist Church. Tonight, I shared with you 10 little interviews with people that have been in churches for 50 plus years. Their church. One church. One church. This is experience talking. And every single point that I made tonight is exactly true. It is exactly true. Anybody here that would examine it carefully, you would say, my, my, oh my, what a compilation of truth. And indeed it is. Let's bow our